Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 66. We actually finished in Sunday school this morning the study of the book of Isaiah, but came across a passage of scripture in here that really caught my attention, and I'd like to talk with you a little bit about it tonight. It's in verse 5, Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 5. Actually, let's just read down to verse 5 from verse 1, because you'll see it in the context here. In Isaiah chapter 66, verse 1, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where's the house that you build unto me? Where's the place of my rest? For all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit," watch it, "and trembleth at my word. He that killeth an ox is as he slew a man." He goes here and talks about some people that have gotten out of line with him and did evil before him. Then look down here at verse 5. This is our text. "Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, let the Lord be glorified. But he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed." Now notice, he says in verse 2, "To this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit," watch it, "and trembleth at my word." And then he says in verse 5, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word." Ye that tremble at his word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to help us to understand something about that statement right there, trembling at the Lord's word. Father, we ask you please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to help us as we preach tonight, to get a full dose of what you intended when you said what you said in this passage of Scripture. Tonight, Father, as we bow before you, not only do we remember these for whom we've prayed, but we again pray for Phyllis Ingram, who's there with pneumonia in the hospital. Father, we pray that you will provide her with a speedy recovery, and the doctors and nurses with a lot of wisdom and compassion in handling her. Pray for the Dora Garcia family, Father, that we met out passing out Bibles in Fishers of Men today. She's passed away not 4 months ago. A son of theirs passed away, and I know that family is grieving, so we ask you, Lord, to take care of that family and all their extended relatives. Pray for Mr. Holder, a father who's at home today because of a fall yesterday and kind of banged up. Lord, we pray that you'll provide him with your grace and strengthen him. And we pray also, Father, those that are there to take care of him will be able to be a good comfort to him. Lord, we pray for the Ochoa and Roland and Andrade families because of this recent passing. Provide your comfort in a way that only you can. Father, we pray for Pastor Stowe and the conference in Beeville that's going on now, that has been scheduled for the first part of this week. God bless them with some very powerful preaching, and take care of Dr. Sharp's wife, who had a stroke. He was scheduled to preach and couldn't be there now because of her illness. Father, we pray that that you will do some miraculous things in her life as she begins to recover from the effects of that stroke, Father. And I pray that they will really be able to do things, Lord, where she's not limited in the near future by those things that have happened. God, take care of them. And we ask you to do all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, he says here, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word." Well, I'm not going to give you a lot of introduction to this. The idea is that somebody heard something in the Word of God, and when they did, they didn't just receive it. They didn't just sit and process it, or didn't just think about it. They didn't simply go down into their hearts, though it often does. Something happened that shook them and caused them to tremble. And the question is, what is it in the words of God that makes people tremble? Have you ever trembled at the words of God? There are several references in here to people doing that. What is it? What is it about the Word of God that causes people to tremble? That's what we're going to look at tonight. And the first thing is the presence of God in the words of God. The presence of God in the words of God. Do you remember back in Exodus when God first spoke to Israel as a nation? Do you remember what happened? They'd come out into the wilderness. Moses had led them out. And up until that time, Moses was getting word from God. He was giving it to Aaron. And then they were going in and either talking to Israel or talking to Pharaoh. And plagues were coming. And then it was time to leave. They left. And boy, they saw some big miracles. Some fascinating things. And they got out there in the wilderness, you know, and they had trouble. from a few things. They had trouble from the Amalekites that attacked. They had trouble because Pharaoh was trying to kill them. Then they got to a place at Sinai where God was ready to give them the Ten Commandments. Remember that episode? And so Moses was told, get all of them prepared. Make sure they're all clean. Make sure nobody comes and touches this mountain. And I'm going to speak to them. And on the day that the Lord spoke, the Bible says that His voice came out like a trumpet. And when it came out like a trumpet, He began to speak. The Bible says that those people trembled at His voice. They trembled at His voice. So terrifying was the Lord's voice when He spoke. They said to Moses, after the Ten Commandments were delivered, you go get words from him and you come back and you tell us what he said, because we don't want to hear that voice again. It scared us. They trembled because God was there on that mountain, and when he spoke, his presence was in those words. In another place, the Lord says in Jeremiah, for instance, he says, fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will you not tremble at my presence? If God were to show up in this room right now tonight, the same way that he showed up then, or the same way he's talking about in Jeremiah, you would tremble. You know, Hollywood did a poor job of it with The Wizard of Oz, but there was a voice coming out from behind that curtain, and they were all trembling. Toto was all upset, you know. And it's a take on this. That was just a show. This is the real thing. You know, the Bible tells us that when Jesus Christ returns at His second coming, this whole earth is going to shake. You'll read references like that in the Old Testament. I mean, it'll shake. There'll be earthquaking. There'll be mountains falling and valleys filling in. And you know what all that is? That's God displaying Himself, presenting Himself to mankind. And I'm going to tell you something. People that tremble at the words of God, tremble at the words of God because God's presence is in His words. People argue. They argue, well, which Bible do you use? Which one do you think is the best one to read and all that? Of course, you know us. We believe this King James Bible is the Word of God, and this is what we read. And some of us struggle with it a little more than others. Some of us kind of get the Word. Some of us don't get the Word so much, but I'm going to tell you something. You know what? You really, I think this is the real test. You don't really need to argue about manuscript evidence. You don't really need to argue about all those words. You know what? Show me which book God is in. That's the one I want to read. And I believe His book is in this. I believe His presence is in this book. I remember distinctly, I won't elaborate because all of you know the story, in September of 1986 when I picked this book up for the first time to read it for myself. And it opened to Psalm 119, and I began to read. I knew that God was there speaking to me. I knew it. I don't know how I knew it. As you know, as I told you before, as spiritually inept as I am about these matters, I just knew it. You could just tell His voice was in the words. And He was showing me my life from His perspective, and it changed me that night and set me on a different path. Listen, God's in these words. Listen, if we weren't so dull of hearing, the words in our King James Bibles, they would make us tremble, seeing that these words are given to us by inspiration of God. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. You know what that means? That means God breathes on the Word. It doesn't talk about how we got these. I believe these came to us by God. But inspiration is not really about how we got these words. It's about how you get them now that you're reading them. And they're given by inspiration of God, which means the Holy Spirit is blowing on these words, if you will, and feeding you by inspiration. He's breathing on these words and giving them to you. If you and I would realize the spiritual transaction that's taking place at the moment that the Spirit of God is giving us these words, I believe we'd tremble. Now, I'm not of a charismatic nature where, well, I guess I didn't get anything out of my Bible reading today. I didn't tremble. Man, sometimes I'm reading the Bible early in the morning and I'm not even awake. You know, so you're not going to make a dead body tremble. I'm not trying to be charismatic here or something, or that you got to keep reading till you feel the presence of God and you start to shake and then your house shakes. But I'll tell you what, when they prayed in Acts chapter 4, that place shook. God showed up. And I believe there's something to it. And you know, sometimes we'll read and people will stand. They'll say, stand and honor the words of God. You know what that is? That's showing a respect for something that's divine here. We ought to humble ourselves before these words. These are very, very, you know what? God's in this book. I know a preacher one time, they were having trouble in the church, and he called a preacher and said, what should I do? He said, get your communion table, which is right here back behind us, and open a Bible on it, leave it open in there all the time. He said, why is that? He said, that way if any evil spirits want to show up, they got to contend with God. There may be something to that, because he's in this book. He really is. Hey, you know what? In the Jews in the Old Testament, when they went to the tabernacle, they could meet with God at the tabernacle door. They could meet with God at the mercy seat. You know something? There's no tabernacle anymore. There's no mercy seat anymore. Where do you meet with God? Right here. In these words. You want to have a spiritual life that really grows and so forth? Meet with God. You're not just checking off Bible reading. You're having a meeting with the Lord. His presence is in this book. I believe that's why some people tremble at the words of God, because of the presence of God and the words of God. But that's not all. We tremble not only at His presence, but we tremble at His power. We tremble at the power of God in the words of God. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You know, this is not any ordinary book. Today, when we went out, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, today when we went out with Fishers of Men to distribute some Bibles, you know, I really would like to engage people that we're talking to more in a conversation. I really would. Sometimes you don't get to. And we gave out, there were 25 of us that came today, and we passed out 25 Bibles, one for each. And the neat thing about that is, tonight, in 25 homes, there's a New Testament that was just delivered that somebody might look at. And I'm going to tell you something. There's power in those words. There is a spiritual transaction that can happen as a result of the sowing of that seed you may never see on this side of eternity. But I'm going to tell you something. There's power in that book. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul says in verse 2, when he's talking about coming to the Corinthians, he said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear, watch it, and in much trembling. This is Paul. This is Mr. Bold, I gotcha. You've read his letter, you know how he handled the Corinthians. And he said, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. This power of God and the words of God. Didn't he say about this book, the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword? Do you understand these words have the power to save lives? It is absolutely conceivable that 25 people will end up in heaven because of the sowing of the seed of the Word of God today. Or more because it was sown into homes where there are families. You say, how is that possible? If they open that book, there's power in that book to change lives, to save lives. We're born again by the Word of God. That's why the preaching of the Bible is such an important thing. That's why it's so important to talk to people, to give out tracts, to get the Word of God into somebody's hands. Because people get saved by the power of this book. It has the power to change lives. I know what I am as a carnal man, and I know what I am as a child of God. And may I tell you, the longer that I'm saved, there is such a dichotomy. You know what that word means? Like they're separated big time. I use a big word to describe how big the separation is. There's a whole lot of difference in carnal Bevins Wilder and child of God Bevins Wilder. And you know what made that difference? You say, well, you started acting better and you started coming to church and get around good people and you started acting good. Uh-uh. That word got in on the inside in a very miraculous way without me doing anything. It made changes in my life. I stand here today as a child of God ministering the Word of God to you because God did something very powerful in my life. He did something very powerful in your life. I remember years ago, we were having a teachers and workers, approved workers meeting over there in the junior church, what used to be the junior church area, those two Sunday school rooms with the dividing partition there. And so I'm sitting down in the back because Tony and Randy, they've got the meeting. So I'm sitting in the back. I don't have to do anything that night. And I'm looking over 40 heads of people that are in there who have, who've gotten saved or who were saved and started coming to church and got faithful to the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. You know what thought came through my mind when I'm sitting there? I remember where you were when we met. I don't mean the locale. I mean where you were spiritually. And I'm looking over your heads. And you weren't, many of us were not in any condition spiritually to be teaching children in a Sunday school class. But God did something in your life. He changed you. And He made you a wonderful child of God and gave you a ministry. And I looked at that and I thought to myself, what an honor, what a privilege to be able to preach and teach the Word of God and go home and let the Word of God change people's lives. We didn't have to impose anything on anybody. We didn't have to intimidate anybody with any kind of an unusual rule. We just turned the Bible loose and let it go and it started working on us and we all got better. It's an amazing book. It has the power to clean our lives. Haven't some of us had trouble with our thought lives and our imaginations? And you know what? You just get more and more of that Bible in there, and you know what? You start thinking about different things. It cleans you up. Jesus Christ said, now are you clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. It does something to your spirit which once was defiled. Do you know this book has the power to direct our lives? Have you ever used a GPS? Have you ever used a GPS? Did it ever frustrate you when you didn't get where you were hoping to go? You know, all of a sudden you're like coming up on it and it says exit here and it really didn't mean exit here. It meant go and then turn right at the next place. And now you're 6 miles out of the way. This book will never misdirect you. It has the power to direct your life. You can go in here and ask God any question and He'll come back to you with an answer in time. This Bible has the power to work effectually in your lives. You say, what do you mean by that? Listen, everybody in here has some sort of ministry. You minister to somebody. You minister to your spouse. You minister to your children. You might minister to others in a class. You might minister to others while you're witnessing. You might minister to neighbors, but you're ministering to somebody in some capacity. And everybody in here has the opportunity and the privilege of being able to do that. And may I tell you, this word has the power to work effectually in our lives. You say, what does that mean? It means when you minister to Him, God can do something with this book in their life. That's good. It has the power, listen, it has the power to do anything God wants to do through you if you just depend upon its power. What happens to us though, some of us we get confident in our own power. And when that happens, kind of like it dims out the light, it's like a rheostat. And you go, Lord, I'm weak, I'm in fear, I'm in much trembling. Why? Here comes that light. The power of God is in the words of God. You say, I wish I had more power in my life. Get more God, the Word of God in your life, and you'll get more power. And when people are around the power of God, it causes them to tremble. That's what Paul was doing. He was trembling in the presence of those words and the Spirit of God as it was being used by God to change lives. I'll tell you something else. We don't just tremble at the presence of God in the words of God or the power of God in the words of God, but we also tremble at this. The preaching of God. In the words of God. Let me show you a few places here. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. We're going to look at three passages of scripture here. First Samuel chapter 16. You know who Samuel was, right? He's one of the greatest prophets that Israel ever had. 1 Samuel chapter 16, he grew up basically under Eli's tutelage. And then, of course, Eli messed up and Samuel became the judge, became the prophet. And he was the one that God used to select David. Look at this in 1 Samuel chapter 16. Look at verse 4. This is Samuel going now to select or anoint David. Verse 4. Samuel did that which the Lord spake and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Comest thou peaceably?" There was something in Samuel that scared them. All right? Having seen that, having digested that, turn with me to Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24. You say, "Well, we were so close to that. Why didn't you just let us look at it when we were in the New Testament?" Because I didn't want to. Acts chapter 24. In Acts chapter 24, you're going to look at verse 25 and you're going to see Paul talking with Felix and his wife Drusilla. We'll begin in verse 24. Acts 24, 24. Watch this. After certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for you. He trembled when Paul preached of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Look again, one more time, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. I'll show you one more time. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And look with me in verse 14. Actually, 13 will give you a better context. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 13. Therefore, we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. For if I have boasted anything to him of you, I'm not ashamed. But as we speak all things to you in truth, even so our boasting, which I made before Titus, is found a truth. And his inward affection is more abundant toward you, whilst he remembereth the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling you received him. Now if that's three times you have seen people fearing and trembling when a man of God shows up. Once with Samuel in Bethlehem, once with Paul before Felix, and once here with Titus when he came down to the Corinthians. Do you really think there was something so awesome about those three men that people were humbling because of the man? Paul was a very humble man. Samuel was a very humble man. Titus was a very humble man. I don't think there was something about those guys that was so scary. They were like, "Ooh, Titus is in town." You know what I think it was? I think it was the preaching of the Word of God that caused them to tremble. Because when they spoke, it wasn't just a man speaking. You remember when Herod spoke, there were people who were trying to flatter him. They said, "Oh, it's not the voice of a man, it's the voice of a God." And they began to worship him and he was eaten with worms. Not in the man. It's in God, in the man. Do you understand? What happened is these guys had so much of God on them that when they showed up, people were aware that when they preached, God was speaking through the vessel. Much in the same way as God using his own voice, except now he's using his words through the mouth of an individual. So we tremble sometimes at the preaching of God in the words of God. Preacher's just a man, but he had God on him. And the words were not man's words. The words were God's words, and it shook him up. Have you ever been, that's the word we use. You ever been shook up by some preaching? Boy, I have. I have. But you walk in there and you're thinking, you know, I snuck in. And the next thing you know, boy, God is all over you about something. You ever had that happen to you? That's what happens when people get saved. You know what? A preacher said this one time, and he's right. There'll be times when you're preaching, and you're preaching salvation, and a person is resisting the work of the Holy Ghost, and you offer an invitation, and they don't respond to that invitation. You go to that back door and start shaking hands, and all of a sudden, the old guy comes up there, and the Lord was dealing with him, and man, his old palms are sweaty, and he's got a little shake to him, and you know what happened? God spoke to him. God spoke to him. Just a man, but there's something in these words, listen, when they are preached. I know they are when you read them, but also when they're preached. I'll never forget, years ago I read in a book that was a chronicle, a diary, not a diary, but a history of John Jasper. John Jasper was a slave. John Jasper was a slave, but he was called to preach by God, and he couldn't preach unless there was a white man on the platform with him when he preached. And for that reason, he didn't get to preach as often as he wanted to. But when the Emancipation Proclamation came, he was given then the opportunity to preach anytime he wanted to. He went down to Richmond, Virginia, and he started a church. Well, in time, his church grew to be larger than the churches of the seminary-trained preachers that were in that town. And they became envious. And so they had a meeting, and they invited him to the meeting, and they said to him, Brother Jasper said, we're concerned about something. How is it that you've built a better work and a bigger work than we've built? And he said, listen, we understand that when we don't have a Sunday evening service here for one reason or another, our people are all showing up at your church to hear you preach. And you haven't been trained. You hadn't been to school. How are you doing that? He said, well, that's easy. He said, when you take your text, you go to your commentaries, and you go to your seminary notes to find out what other men have had to say about that passage you're going to preach, and then you get your stuff together, and you go up, and you tell them what you learned from all these things that you've studied. He said, not me. When I take my text, I go to my knees. And I talk to God about what God said. And I get the message from him, and then when I go to the pulpit and I stand in there, I tell him what God said about his words. And he said, you know something? Men don't care to find out what men have to say about God's words. They want to know what God said. That was his answer. And I'm telling you what, that is right. That is right. Men tremble that God does something with the preaching of his words. Listen, you've read the story undoubtedly. You know, about what happened, sinners in the hands of an angry God. When Jonathan Edwards preached that sermon, he got up, he had written it, he just read it. I mean, I've got notes up here, right? He just got up there and said, and the next thing is that God will come and he will throw you in hell if you don't receive Jesus as your Savior. People are hanging on to columns in the church. They're trembling so much. And I mean, slew of them got saved. Was it Jonathan Edwards? Not reading like that, I'll tell you. God got in that preaching. You know why I don't want to miss church? Anytime? You know why I don't miss this? So I have an opportunity to tremble at God's words when he's speaking to me about something. And thank God, listen, thank God, that when we have men that come in here to preach, many men are filled with the Spirit of God when they preach here. And God uses them to speak. Listen, we're doing a men's Bible study, right? And we're teaching these guys how to get outlines and teach the Bible and stuff like that. We were still over there in that building, and we were having a teen Sunday night. And remember how the teens, some of y'all had to preach and take turns? Well, it was Zach Everett's turn. So, and his family didn't know it. It was all a surprise. And so Zach gets up there and he looks like he's fit for the position. Don't let that go to your head. Just, you know, it's kind of hard to see him, but he looked like he was. No, I'm just kidding. I just had to fun you a little bit. He got up there and he says, now we all knew he's getting ready to preach, right? He looked down there at his dad and he said, Dad, would you pray for me? Old Milton could hardly get the words out of his mouth, fighting back the tears. And he got up and he preached a little message on courage. And it was good. I mean, I even remember the topic. Aurelian was here then, hadn't been saved very long. He was heading back to France and he met his mother and they were spending a vacation together. Knowing that he had to witness to his mother, he couldn't get up the courage to do it. And you know what God did? He reminded him about that sermon he heard before he went over there. And God gave him the courage to speak to his mother. And his mother got saved. You know what that is? That's men trembling at the preaching of God in the words of God. You think, I've read Zach's outlines. It's not in the man. It's in the preaching. Keep working, brother. Keep working. Keep working. Listen, God will honor it. Any man gets up here and humbles himself before God and opens that book and preaches and let God use him, God will use him. God will use him. Why do we tremble at the words of God? It's the presence of God in the words of God. It's the power of God in the words of God. It is the preaching of God in the words of God and something else. It's the preeminence of God in the words of God. Psalm 119 verse 120 says, "My flesh trembleth for fear of thee." Because he's so great. You know Philippians chapter 2. He's given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Jesus Christ is lifted up far above all principality and power. He's the greatest name that ever has been and ever will be. I'll tell you, it makes you want to throw your TV all the way off the planet Earth when you hear somebody take the name of Jesus Christ and use it as an expletive. That's a great name. Ban it around like that where people get all upset and then say something using his name because they're upset about what happened to them. You know, up there in heaven, whenever they say anything about the Lord Jesus Christ, those angels, boom, they fall prostrate before the Lord. Why? Because he's it. He's number one. When John saw him in heaven, he could not stand in front of him. When John saw him up in heaven, he couldn't stand in front of him, and it was so much so that when he saw the angels who looked like Jesus, he fell down in front of them too. They had to tell him, "Get up, brother, get up. We're one of you. We're in this together." He's over there. Listen, he's high and lifted up. He's high and lifted up. And I don't think we realize that sometimes. Is Jesus your friend? He really is. He's the best friend you'll ever have. And sometimes in our friendship with him, we exalt ourselves and we bring him down a little bit. I don't mean to make him so high you can't ever get to him. But he needs to be lifted up higher than where he is a lot of the time. And you know why that happens sometimes? Sometimes we put men on pedestals instead of him. Why? Because you're around each other more. I know, I've seen it. When I graduated from Bible college, Dr. Ruttman was very influential. And there were a lot of us. Well, they say about people that graduate from Pensacola, said it takes about 5 years for that to rub off of you. You know what happens? You're so impressed with the Bible knowledge that God gave him and the work that he's done, he has a tendency to go up on a pedestal. And he's not the only one. They did it with Lee Robertson. They did it with Jack Hiles. They did it with D.L. Moody. They did it with George Mueller. They do it with men. Let me tell you something. They are dirt bags. I say that in all charity. But that's where their bodies go. Worm food. It just happens to be there's a vessel there that's being used by the Lord. The preeminent person is not that man. People say, Lester Roloff, he was a good man. But he's not the preeminent man. Jesus Christ is the preeminent man. Let me tell you something. People have asked me time and time again. They say, "Well, how's it going over there at Brother Roloff's old work?" That was there in Corpus Christi, wasn't it? May I tell you something? When he died, he was called by God to do what he did. They could have shut it down right then. I'm not telling you they should have. I'm not suggesting that. What I'm telling you is that wasn't Lester Roloff's idea. That was God's idea. And he happened to use that man to do that work. And when that man was gone, if God was like, okay, I'm done with that, you can shut the whole thing down. I said, well, what do you do with all that land and build? Sell it. I don't care. Whatever you want to do with it. You want to be wherever Jesus Christ is. He is the preeminent man. And you read that book right there, guess what? It's not David. David, sure enough, was a man after God's own heart, but God left enough dirty laundry in there on David so you wouldn't think it was David. You say, why does God have something bad to say about every good man that was in there? So you'll understand, it's Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ is lifted up to his proper place from the words of God, men tremble. Men tremble. People look at politicians. I remember years ago I had an opportunity to meet John Conley. I was just a little kid, but it was right not long after he had healed up from his gunshot wound in Dallas, riding in the motorcade with President Kennedy when President Kennedy was shot. And he walked in the door of our house, and I mean, I'm just a kid. I remember I'm here about maybe belly button high to him or something when he walked in the door. To me, he just filled the room. And you know what that is? That was the attitude of a young man about somebody who'd been on television a lot who had survived a gunshot wound. And I was just like, wow. Do you realize there are people like that today? LeBron James, wow. Can I get an autograph? It's not them. They're not even close. You know who it is? It's Jesus Christ. And he's lifted up in this book very, very high. If you look hard enough, you find him just on about every page in there. And that's what causes men to tremble. Because when they see him, preeminence, it brings us down. Why do men tremble? At the words of God. It's not only the preeminence of God and the words of God. I'll tell you something else. It's the punishments of God. The punishments of God and the word of God. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Show you a thing that God said to Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 28. You know that's the place where all those curses are at the end of that chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 28, look at verse 65. We'll start with verse 64. Or 63. I mean, we can start with verse 1 if you want to, but we won't go that far back. Deuteronomy chapter 28, we'll start with verse 63. It shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught, and ye shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from the one end of the earth even unto the other. And there thou shalt serve other gods which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest, but the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart and failing of eyes and sorrow of mind. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night and shalt have none assurance of thy life. What causes them to tremble? It's the punishments of God in these words. It's those warnings and admonitions that he gives you. It's that threat that he's going to do something to you if you don't obey him. These passages are just some. There are many like this. Show you men and the earth trembling at the judgments of God. The Lord's holy. Did you know that? The Lord is righteous. And you know what he does? He abhors unrighteousness. And he abhors unholiness, and he abhors sin. He abhors wickedness. You know, if the people in this country that make decisions for this country, men and women in positions of authority to make laws, men and women in positions of authority to enforce those laws, men and women in judicial positions to make judgments by those laws, if they read this book and believe what this book said, they would tremble tonight for some of the decisions they've made because of what God does to countries that make those decisions. The Bible says sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. May I tell you something? Abortion is a sin. That's Bobby's phone. That's not a cricket. I'm sorry. That's somebody's phone. I'm sorry. That's it. You read that Bible and believe that, but people say, do you find America in there? I find the sins America's committing in there. And I'll tell you what, I tremble for this country when I think about what we've done. They're trying to make a decision in the Supreme Court of Texas right now, and they're trying to make a decision in the Supreme Court of the United States this summer about same-sex marriage. There's no debate, folks. God already told you right from the beginning how it's supposed to be, and rounded up at the end, told you how it's supposed to be. You get a country to turn their back on God after God's done what He's done for this country with those kinds of things, legalizing sin the way we've legalized sin in this country. I was talking to a preacher the other day, and we got talking about meeting some fellow that was praying that's in a political position, elected position. And the preacher's voice, it was Brother Keck, and his voice changed. We were talking, we were having a good time, we're good friends, but his voice changed, got very sober, got deeper and mournful, and he said, I pray for this country. And he wasn't trying to act spiritual. He was trembling because of the punishments of God that are in these words. You can't do what we're doing here and get away with it. Not with God. You can't do it in your life. You know, with these teens that come through here and we preach like crazy and we're trying to keep them here in the church, and they say, oh, boy, as soon as I'm 18, I'm out of here. Some 16, I'm out of here. Boy, you don't even know what you're thinking. You're an absolute fool. You say, well, God's never done anything to me. No, you're living under your parents' roof. You're shielded like Job. You're hedged in round about with a special protection. There's a whole church full of people praying for you. You step out there and think you're going to take God on one-to-one, you know what you'll do? You'll quit reading this book because this thing will pronounce a judgment against you on nearly every page you read. And you think, somehow or another, I've turned my back on God and I'm going to get away with this. You're not going to get away with nothing. Because the judgments of God are true, and us who are older that have read this book and have had some of that punishment say, listen, this stuff is bad. And when God comes down on you, it will cause you to shake in your boots. You say, oh, you're just doing that to scare me. No, I'm trying to tell you the truth. Listen. I want to tell you the honest truth. I used to hear preachers say, it's better to be reproved by God out of the words of God than it is to be punished by God out there. And I have seen God do that. You know, He says whenever the Lord chastens you, that you're not to despise the chastenings of the Lord. Because He loveth whom He rebuketh. The Bible says He scourgeth every son whom He loveth. I want to tell you something. When I read this Bible and God and I are praying, He shows me where I'm out of line with Him yet once again, I thank Him. You know why? Because He didn't have to clobber me to get that thing through my head. He's been so merciful. But I'm going to tell you what. These words are true. And if you don't believe the punishments of God, try living without these words and see what happens. They're all true. And when you read them, if you believe them, the fear of God comes on you. It causes you to tremble. It'll cause you to tremble. And it should cause you to tremble. He may not execute His judgment speedily, but He's going to execute His judgment. You can't live in disobedience to these words and not feel the pain at some point. Amen. Why do we tremble at the words of God? Not only because of the preeminence of God and the punishments of God in the words of God, but also this, and this is a good thing, but because of the prosperity of God in the words of God. Oh, He's going to go start preaching prosperity preaching. No, I'm not. Look with me in Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter 33. Has God been good to you or what? Okay, that's what I'm talking about. Right there. Jeremiah chapter 33 and look at verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 33 and look at verse 9. And it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them. He's talking about Israel. And they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it. Do you see that? He says, I am going to be so good to Israel, all the nations are going to fear and tremble because of my goodness and because of my prosperity to them. Do you understand that the Lord owns everything? You don't own anything. You may have your name on the title. Don't pay the tax one year and you find out who owns it. Okay? God's just letting you use some things. You got your name on it. That all this stuff belongs to Him. He said, I got a cattle on 1,000 hills. And you know what? He's willing to share some of it with you. And He does. You know, we should tremble. We really should. We should tremble at the goodness of God to us. Look at one last passage of Scripture here in 2 Corinthians about the goodness of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at this. I'll show you this one last Scripture here tonight. Give you a little piece on this thing here to wrap this up. But I'm telling you what. What is it about the words of God that should cause us to tremble? It's His presence, His power, His preaching, His preeminence, His punishments, and then this, this prosperity to us, the way He takes such good care of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, look at verse 8. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Then there's a parenthesis, so skip down to verse 11. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Did you see all those alls in there? Wow. All grace abound towards you. You always having all sufficiency in all things, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness. I mean, does that not cover it? He daily loadeth us with benefits. And rather than take Him for granted, we ought to tremble at His goodness before us. Listen, you know, it's very popular today. You'll ask a Christian, so how you doing? You've done this. So how you doing? And they'll say, better than I deserve. You ever heard people say that? But it's so trite. It's so cliche now. That's just like, oh, if I'm going to act real spiritual, when somebody asks me how I'm going to do, I'm not going to say fine. I'm gonna give all glory to God, and I'll say, better than I deserve. Some of us, we say that and we really mean it. Some people say it and it's just like, well, that's what I heard Christians say. It sounds pretty good to me. But you know something? We really are better than we deserve. We are way better than we deserve. God has been way, way, way better to us than we deserve. And you know what? When we really realize this and don't take it for granted, we ought to fall down before God and praise Him for His goodness and His prosperity. I'm gonna tell you what, He's taking awful good care of us. I mean, I look around here and I think, you know, this was just a piece of dirt. 14 years ago, this coming May, we're still in a little rent metal building. Right? Remember all that old reclaimed asphalt been out there, and Doyle decided he wanted to come mow the grass. You didn't know what you were getting into back in those days. I was in my office trying to record radio broadcasts. He's in there with a little push mower like that, and he's out there on the street because that's the only place the grass was growing, right up by that fence. And all that reclaimed asphalt was out there, and of course a bunch of that out there by the street hadn't got pushed down, so it's just up there as big rocks, and I'll hear this. I'll hear, brrrr, pow! Another rock. The whole time. And I'm thinking, you know, things have changed around here a little bit, hadn't they? My goodness. God's been awful good to us. Awfully, awfully good to us. We've had some of our folks in this church that aren't here now. They've died and gone to heaven. that's an awfully good place to be. I miss them terribly. But I know where they are, and that's okay. Been so good to us. Hey, some of our kids have gotten saved. Some of our kids that strayed have gotten straightened out with God, and they're back with us now. Some of us have had tragedy and trials in our lives, and we've had a whole church group full of people right here to be here and to love us. Some of us have gotten married in here. Some of us got saved and baptized in here. A lot of good things that have happened here. You know that? God's been so good to us. Do you sleep well at night? I do too. Do you get up in the morning and sense a little peace in your life before your wife wakes up? I just had to throw that in. You know, God's been so good to us. Folks, listen. We really are better than we deserve. And when you read about the goodness of God in here, it ought to cause us to tremble. That God would allow us to be called His child. Wow. That Jesus Christ would die and shed His blood that we might be saved. What a tremendous, what a great God we have. Why do people tremble at these words? Because of the prosperity of God in the words of God. He delights in taking care of His children. He really does. Sure has taken good care of us. Listen, folks. This Bible's not a textbook on God. Sometimes we've looked at it that way. And this Bible isn't a religious manual on how to live the Christian life. Although you'll learn how to live the Christian life here, it's not a manual. It's not a textbook. You know something? It's not a history of biblical events, although all the history in here is just right as could be. But history books to me can get to be boring. And textbooks, I never did like reading those. And just a chronicle of things and a religious manual. Now this is how you do. I did all that when I was a kid growing up. I had missals and catechism for that. You know what this is? This book is God's Word. God's in this book. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And when we read it or we hear it preached, I'm going to tell you something. God does something, and we shouldn't be afraid to tremble when God does something to us. Amen? Father, we're thankful tonight for the words of God. And truly, Father, I pray tonight for us. I've read this Bible, sometimes couldn't get the sleep out of my eyes, and thought I'd just forget to read a couple more pages. I won't feel so bad that I didn't read my Bible today, and I didn't treat this book nearly with the respect, Father, that's in it. The lives of the men that died and the women that died and were martyred to get us this book, and the work you did to get it to us. Father, I pray we'll love it, and tremble before it and fear before it. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that we'll know everything in here is true. Everything in here is right. And that our lives are what they are today because of what you've done, and our lives will be what they're going to be because of what you're going to do. This book is an eternal book. It's a never-changing book, but boy, it sure makes perpetual and everlasting changes in us. God, help us to tremble before these words and before the preaching of these words. For we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.